Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. I'm going to have to put this down a little bit more because it's moving my Bible. Oh, there we go. All right, Joshua 1:8. I have a powerful word today. All right, and it says these words. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If someone could crank the lights up, that'd be awesome. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. What a great time of praise and worship, wasn't it? Wow, thank you, Lord. You got to have that powerful experience at a church service, or else it's just not complete. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 14, I want to look at here. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Today, I want to even continue on from the last couple of messages. As I was writing this, I didn't really think that I was doing a continuation, but the more the Holy Spirit gave me, the more I seen it's another piece of the puzzle of what I've been preaching the last couple of weeks. All right, so today I want to talk about how to take hold and how to receive the blessings of God by this right here: releasing your faith. Say releasing your faith. This message is entitled How to Release Your Faith. Specifically, I want to talk about the importance of releasing our faith through spoken words. You see, faith is good, but it's not complete unless it's released. Amen? How many of you know the word is good, but it does nothing, there's no power in it until it's released on a heart of an individual? So your faith is good, don't get me wrong, but it's not complete until it's released. It needs to be released. And we release the faith in our heart by two things: by spoken words and by actions, how we release it. Today I really want to focus in on the power of our spoken word, okay? The word of God says this. It says, faith without works is dead. Now, if faith can be dead, it then means that your faith can be alive. If something can be dead, it means it can be alive. How many of you know you want living faith? Amen. We don't want dead. What is dead faith? Are you ready for this? Dead faith means this: you keep it all inside. Living faith means you're releasing it. You're speaking it and you're doing it. Amen? Faith must be released for it to profit our life. I don't know about you, but I want faith that is alive and active so I can benefit from it. Amen? In my life, in my walk with God, I want living faith. Say that with me. Say, I want living faith, not dead faith. So part of the works is verbally speaking the word of God, or what we say, verbalizing our faith that's on the inside. So I want to talk about the power of our spoken word, specifically verbally speaking the word of God. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
All right, here we go. So I want to talk about some important things that take place when we agree with and speak the word of God. See, you can speak the word of God. There's a lot of people that speak the word of God, but there's no true, agreement in their heart with it. People say, I speak the word all the time, and it does nothing for me. Why? Because there's no agreement with it. Something on the inside is not allowing you to hook up and really agree with what's taking place. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It's going to do what it's supposed to do, but it must be mixed, Hebrews said, with faith. And faith, if you break faith down, you know what it is? It's agreement with God. Say agreement. Many people in the body of Christ are not experiencing that fullness of the blessings of God because they're not releasing their faith. They're not following, come on, you can say it this way, they're not following the complete instructions that are in the book. Okay? You got to follow the instructions in the book. If you miss an instruction, there's a disconnection, right? So they're not following the complete instructions that are given in the Word of God. They have faith, but it's dead faith. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here. We don't want dead faith, all right? Or here's what's going on. Or, listen to this, they're releasing their faith in the devil more than faith in the Word of God by speaking negative words. How many of you even know our negativity is in coming into harmony, coming into symphony, into agreement with what the enemy wants for our life? That's negative speaking. Go with me to Proverbs 18:21. I see a lot of new faces in here. I brought up these scriptures in the past. I'm going to do it again. The Holy Spirit said, bring it back, bring it back. People need to be reminded of this. Proverbs 18, verse 21, I want to take a look at here. I'm talking about how to release your faith. Faith is no good to you when it's dead. Nothing is good to you when it's dead. Amen? It must be alive for it to benefit you. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power. That word power there literally means the authority of. You have authority. Your tongue has authority out of the words you speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What's the fruit it's talking about? Death or life. You're either going to partake of, you're either going to eat the fruit of, because the tongue, our spoken words, it brings fruit to us. But some fruit is nasty. Because we're speaking death. We're speaking negative words. Amen? So death and life are in the power or in the authority of the tongue. Our tongue, our spoken words, has the power to direct our lives. How to direct our lives, in the way of life or in the way of death, all right? Our words, I like to say it this way. You hear me say it all the time, but again, there's new faces, so be patient. We all need to be reminded. Our words are containers. They either contain death or they contain life, okay? Death or life, blessing or cursing. All right, words, I said it before, words are a spiritual force because they originate in our spirit man. And Kenneth Hagin was given his testimony of when he died as a 15-year-old boy with a heart condition. He jumped out of his body, and when he was praying to the Lord, he was praying as his spirit was out of his body. He said, and when he came back in, his lips started speaking halfway through the prayer he was saying in the spirit. Hello? Words are a spiritual force. Our spoken words can change or shift the atmosphere wherever you're at. You ever have that? Where you were in such a good mood. Man, things felt great at a workplace, at home, whatever. And someone comes in who is angry, who's grouchy, and totally negative. And all of a sudden, that atmosphere went from here. And it affected the whole atmosphere. Your words, your spoken words, shift atmospheres. So if someone can come in and influence it for negative, guess what? Us Christians can come in and shift it to the positive. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we allow words to come out of our mouth that don't carry life and blessing with it. How many of you know the Holy Spirit can be grieved? Someone says, well, everything that happens is the will of God. I say, no, that's not true, because if everything that happens is the will of God, it would be impossible for the Holy Spirit to get grieved. He would be happy about everything, because everything that happens is his will. But it's not. Some Christians talk with negativity and word curses all the time. And then they wonder why nothing ever works out for them. Because you're prophesying your future with the words that come out of your mouth. They are activating, listen to me, they are activating or giving permission to the wrong kingdom in the spirit realm. Your spoken words are literally paving the way for your future. Learning about the power of our words should be one of the first things that a Christian learns about when they first get born again. The power of our words. You will never, listen to this, don't ever forget this. You take anything out of here, remember this. You will never rise above and you will never go beyond the verbal confession or your spoken words. Oh, I'm no good at anything. Guess what? That's as far as you're going to go. That's the fruit that you're going to partake of in your life. So we got to learn about the power of our words. Because spoken words are a fruit of your faith. Listen to me. Spoken words are a fruit of your faith. All right? Positive or negative? Well, what do you mean negative if it's faith? Well, if you're speaking negative, you have faith in those negative words. Are you following me? You literally have faith in those negative words. They reveal, spoken words reveal what you truly believe. All right? Your spoken words are releasing blessing or cursing, life or death, positivity or negativity, faith or fear. Another thing that needs to get taught and understood when a person first gets born again is the infallibility and the power of the written word of God, the Bible. Amen. That this is not a book of man. This is literally God's thoughts on paper. This is the BIBLE, basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen? You need to put value on the written word of God. All right? And again, you heard my testimony when I first got born again. That was like one of the first things that got illuminated in my spirit is the Holy Spirit was showing me how important the written word of God is. Amen. That it's supernatural. And the word of God does call it the incorruptible seed. It's a seed that's not, it won't get corrupted. Amen? So the problem, as I said a couple weeks ago, the problem's never with the word that's being sown on hearts. The problem is with the soil of your heart. Amen? Go to Romans chapter 10. Let's dig into the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to give us revelation and illumination on how to take hold of the promises of God by releasing our faith. Say that. Say, releasing my faith. I have to release my faith. Romans 10, 6 through 10. This is not a deep message. This is very foundational that every Christian needs to understand, okay? Romans 10, 6 through 10, and it says these words. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what says it? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Say word of faith. Word of faith. Which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, verbally speak with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, spoken words, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want to zoom in on verse 10 there. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Don't ever forget this. Faith and unbelief will always manifest itself in spoken words. Jesus said it this way. He said, the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Now, the spirit of faith is this. Ready? We believe in our heart, and therefore we speak. We believe in our heart, and therefore we speak. When we have a spirit of faith, we will do the same thing as that. Amen? Now, this phrase has been stirring over and over in my spirit, and it's this. Confession is made unto salvation. You can't even get born again unless you speak something. And that thing which you speak is this, Jesus is Lord. Kenneth Hagin, in his testimony that we were watching, he said he went to church all of his life. He got water baptized and he did that stuff. But he said when he came out of his body, he started going he went on the elevator that was going down. And he said, Lord, I've gone to church. What am I going here for? And he went down, and there's a whole story behind it. But finally, God says, do the rest of what you're told to do. And he's like, what's that? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you following me? This is one part that's neglected many times, is confession is made unto salvation. Listen to this. Now, this is a spiritual law, okay, that connects to all the promises in the Word of God, not just getting born again. This is a spiritual law that's introduced in a powerful way here in the New Testament. Listen to this. The word confession, say confession. It simply means this. Are you ready? The word confession means to agree with, ready, or to say the same thing as. I'm not talking about sitting in a booth confessing your sin to a priest. Hello. Amen. Are you following me? Listen, the word confession means this, to agree with or to say the same thing as. The main point is this, agreement, and you're saying the same thing as. So much agreement in your heart with the Word of God that it comes out of your mouth. There's so, you have such a conviction, listen to me, you have such a conviction of agreement with the Word of God. You can't help but speak in line with it. I'm not just talking some weak mamsy-pamsy on the heel of the Lord. No, you got to have that conviction and understand it and believe it. God, I believe it. I am healed in the name of Jesus. There's got to be the conviction on the inside. Amen? Say conviction. So listen to this. Let me share a spiritual law in the kingdom of God with you. So the confession must be made unto salvation. Ready? You could even say this way, and you do no injustice to that verse. Confession must be made unto all the benefits of the new covenant. Let me say it again. Confession must be made unto all the benefits of the new covenant. We must agree and believe with our heart and confess it with our mouth for our faith to be put into receiving motion. Say receiving motion. Let me say it again. We must agree and believe with our heart on the inside. That's the conviction. I do believe this. I believe, just as sure as you believe that Jesus Christ was on this earth, He lived a life on this sinless life on this earth. He went to the cross and he was raised from the dead. As sure as you believe that, you must believe all the promises in the Word of God with the same conviction. Amen. Or else you will never partake of them. Oh, come on now. Listen to this. To unlock the benefits of our salvation through Jesus Christ, the Word of God must not only be in your heart, but it must also come out of your mouth with spoken words. Are you kind of picking up what I'm laying down this morning? Wow, great. And I'm only 3 pages into my 10-pager here. We got a lot more. I'm just getting started. So there must be agreement between your heart and mouth. Listen to me. There must be agreement between your heart and your mouth for contact to be made with the kingdom of God in the spirit realm. Let me say it one more time. There must be agreement between your heart and your mouth, what you're speaking, for contact to be made with the kingdom of God in the spirit realm. It literally does this. I love, here we go. We're going to go a little bit deeper. Are you ready for this? You guys can handle it, right? Yeah. Here's what it does. It initiates the transaction or the transfer you're believing for, the blessing you're believing for in the spirit realm through Christ for it to be manifested in the natural realm. When you believe in your heart and you confess in your mouth, you begin the transaction between the spirit realm in the natural realm to receive the blessing in the natural realm. Does that make sense? Yes. Clear as mud? All right. I'm talking about receiving from the kingdom of God. All right? Listen, actionless, silent faith. Listen to this. It's an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? It's two opposite words that are put together. Silent thunder. Right? So, listen. Actionless or silent faith, it's an oxymoron. It needs to be alive. It needs to be alive if it's going to benefit you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with me real quick here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's after 1 Corinthians for those that are wondering. I hope that helped. Now, 2 Corinthians 1, 19 through 22. The Holy Spirit really wants to get across to you today the importance of the words that we speak. Well, that's just word of faith stuff. Yeah, it is. The Bible. The Bible talks about the word of faith. Amen. It's not a denomination. It's not just a school down in Tulsa, correct? Right? It's mentioned in the Word of God, the importance of our spoken words. All right, 2 Corinthians 1, 19 through 22. And it says this, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him," say in him, "was yes. For all," here, catch this now, verse 20, underline it. "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen." So not just yes, but yes and amen. Amen. Now, what's the importance? "To the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you is in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "in our hearts as a guarantee." Oh, this is so good. Now, so legally speaking, the blessings of salvation contained in the written Word of God belong to us. Do you believe that? If there's a promise in the Word and you're a Christian, does it belong to you? Yes or no?
Yes.
But to experience those blessings, they legally belong to you. Right? But to, how many of you know there's a legal side and then there's the experiencing side of it? But to experience those blessings in your life, you must have faith. You must verbally release the Word of God that's in your heart. Now, acting on and verbalizing faith completes the transaction. That doesn't mean that you have the answer in the natural right away. What I'm saying is that it completes the transaction of faith. Remember, and you carry that faith all the way until what? Until it comes. But believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, it completes the transaction. It starts the transaction. Does that make sense to you? So here's what you got to understand. Jesus has done everything he's ever going to do. Before he took his last breath, he said three very important words. What were they? "It is finished." His part's done. His part's done. Jesus is saying, look, I made all the provisions available to you in my word through the new covenant. And now it's up to you to receive it. He made this is what many Christians don't understand. Jesus made the provision. It's not automatic. You got to receive them. Confession of God's word, agreement with God's word. God, testing, 1, 2. You got me? All right. Here we go. Praise God. All right. Back to business. So all the blessings of God are wrapped up in the one word, salvation. Say salvation. It's been called the all-inclusive word. All right? Listen to this. The word amen. What is the word? We say amen all the time. Do you really know what it means? Listen to this. Yeah. It means this. Yes, so be it. Amen means yes, so be it. So listen to this. So in Christ, all the benefits are yes and amen, right? In him. So we as Christians, this is what that verse means in verse 20. Are you ready? We as Christians must put the verbal yes and amen, or so be it, on each specific blessing of the new covenant to claim that legal right through the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Some people are amazing with all the scriptures about prosperity, financial blessing. I mean, they have the faith for it. Why? Because they're studying it, and they believe it, and they speak it, and they're walking in a level of prosperity that's amazing. You got other Christians, maybe, divine healing. They don't, it's not a thing. They don't study it. They don't really have that conviction on the inside. Guess what? They won't partake of that blessing. Are you following me? So how important is the spoken word when ministering and praying for, let's just say, healing? Listen to this. When the Holy Spirit is moving and the gifts of the Spirit are moving in a service or somewhere, and the Holy Spirit gives a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom about a certain sickness being healed. I'm in a service, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit quickens me. A certain condition is being healed right now. If I hold on to that, nothing happens. Are you following me? Nothing happens. But if I say, hey, everyone, the Holy Spirit just gave me a word on the inside that this condition is being healed. There's literally an anointing on that word of knowledge and on that word of wisdom that when it's released, here's what it does. The anointing on that word drives right into the heart of the person that needs it. And all of a sudden they feel, that's for me, that's me, I take it. But if I'm not obedient and give that, nothing happens. So how important is it to be led by the Holy Spirit? How important is it to verbalize even what the Holy Spirit is speaking? Are you following me? Now, of course, there's personal faith to receive healing and all that, but I was talking about when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. So the spoken word releases the power of God. Let's say this, the believed spoken word releases the power of God. You are literally coming into agreement with heaven, all right? You become a connector between heaven and earth. Say connector. Say I'm a connector. Our faith must be released or acted upon for it to have a positive effect on our own life or on the life of someone else, all right? There were times, listen to this, let me give you some examples. There were times in Jesus' earthly ministry when he asked people if they believed he could heal them. You remember those? There's several accounts in there. He asked them, do you believe you can be healed or I can heal you? And at other times, he gave them an instruction to do something. Didn't that seem kind of weird? It's kind of like, okay, Jesus, are you just kind of playing games with these people? I mean, why don't you just lay hands and be on their way? Why did he do that? Here's why. The Holy Ghost said this. Jesus was giving those people an opportunity to release their faith verbally and with an action. Why? Because faith always acts and faith always speaks. Everything Jesus did was for a purpose. He was trying to get them to verbalize their faith. Amen? If Jesus gave an instruction to do something and they didn't do it, would anything happen? Exactly. No, it wouldn't. Now, you cast demons out of people by verbally speaking the command, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. That command needs to come forth, not just by thinking about it. There needs to be that confrontation, the spoken word. Why? Because that's how we enforce our authority through the Lord Jesus Christ. Silent Christians are the most beat up Christians. Oh, you hear me? Silent Christians are the most beat up and war-tattered Christians ever. Because you got to, when you're speaking the word, you're on the offensive. You're coming against them. You're gaining ground with the enemy. You got to release your faith. Say, I got to release my faith. So, to have the Word of God in your heart doesn't mean to only read it once a week, but rather to be filled with it, that a confession begins to overflow out of your mouth. And that's what Joshua 1:8 is talking about. Joshua 1:8 connects meditating on the Word of God day and night with speaking it out of your mouth. Did you notice that? Take a look at it for yourself again, Joshua 1:8. If you need faith in a certain area, for healing, for finances, for protection, you name it, you need to find verses in the Word of God. You need to find those promises in the Word of God for those blessings, and you need to meditate on them. You need to fill your heart with them. I don't know about you, but we need to be well-rounded Christians. Right? We need to be well-rounded. I want to be well-rounded. I just don't want to be an expert in one thing or two. I want to be an expert on the whole Word of God. Amen? According to Joshua 1:8, meditation is not only thinking about those verses, but also verbally speaking them. So when you come across a promise in the Word of God, don't just think about it, speak it. Say, this blessing, whatever it is, belongs to me. I believe the Word of God. Start speaking it. You gotta start talking. Say, I gotta start talking. It says the Word of God shall not depart from your mouth. It will build faith. Listen to this as you speak it out. As it will build faith, because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you're speaking the Word, guess what? It's recycling the Word back in your hearing, back into your heart. Yeah. Here, ready for this? Many Christians aren't recycling the Word of God enough. Yeah. I said that many Christians are not recycling the Word of God enough. Amen? And by the way, it doesn't matter who's doing the speaking to build faith, you or somebody else, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, it's interesting. Remember I said in the past, it's interesting how it uses the word hearing two times in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Ghost showed me something very interesting in the past about that. I said, there's something about that. Why would he say it twice? And the Holy Spirit said, well, the first hearing is hearing it through your natural ear. The second hearing is when your heart actually grabs hold of it, your spiritual ears. The natural ear and spiritual ear. A lot of Christians are hearing it in the natural ear, but they're not hearing it with their spirit, man, with the heart, with the ears of their heart. Are you following me? All right, now, go to Mark chapter 11. Ah, you knew I was going to go there. Glory! It's one of my favorite passages. I could preach on this one every week and pull something different out. There's something about Mark 11, 20 through 24 that is so powerful and so deep. It's just amazing. Mark 11, 20 through 24. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
All right, now, get ready. Mark 11, 20 through 24. And it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. From the where?
Roots.
And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered, and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith is what it means in the original. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, that you will have them, the Holy Spirit just quickened me on something. That's not talking about immediately in the natural realm. He's talking about receiving it first in the spirit realm, that you made contact with the kingdom of God. Are you following me? All right, now, so the morning before Jesus cursed the fig tree, and the next day, Peter remembered what Jesus did. We all read it and know the story mostly. What Jesus did, and he brought it to Jesus' attention. In verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. And like I said, in the original Greek, that literally means have the God kind of faith. All right? That is extremely important to understand because this is a major key or a spiritual law in the kingdom of God. What then is the God kind of faith? If Jesus told us to have the God kind of faith, wouldn't it be good to know what the God kind of faith is, right? Very simple. Let's take it all the way back to the book of beginnings, Genesis 1. It's found in Genesis chapter 1. When God created the earth, the universe, and everything in it, it was created by God. Number one, seeing or imagining what he wanted to create. He seen it in his heart first. And then he believed it. And he spoke it into existence in the natural realm. God said, let there be light. Let there be. Say, let there be. Our words have creative power in them. They are carriers of life and death. When we speak the word of God over our life, we are literally saying this. Are you ready? When you speak into faith, you're saying, let there be. Let there be peace. Let there be healing. Let there be prosperity. Let there be. You got to start speaking it and say, let it be. You are made in the image of God. God created by believing and speaking. Now we are called to bring things into the natural realm by believing and speaking as well. We have been made in the image of God. Oh, think about that. Knowing that we have been made in the image of God makes the connection how God created everything and Jesus saying, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith always has spoken words attached to it. God spoke everything into existence. In the manifestation of your life is what you've been believing in your heart and speaking into manifestation. What kingdom have you been given place to in your life? That's why the book of James warns us. God warns us that our tongues have the power to bless and the power to curse. Our tongues, he said this, are like a rudder on a ship or a rudder on an airplane. Our words will determine the course and direction our life takes on this earth. In Matthew 12:37, Jesus said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. You know what the Holy Spirit said when I read that? He said this, think before you speak. You better think before you speak, before you let what comes out. He said, and then the scripture came to me of this. Are you ready? Be quick to hear and slow to speak. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Think about that. Two ears and one mouth. Words are so important. Listen to this. In Luke chapter 1, verses 13 and 20, you can look it up yourself. The angel Gabriel visits Zacharias and tells him that his older wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a son named John. What John was that? John the Baptist. Not John the Pentecostal, John the Baptist. Oh, yeah, you guys are tired. Now listen. Listen. Zacharias doubted Gabriel's words, the angel's words, and he literally spoke words of unbelief about the message because of this. We're too old. That can't. Now, listen to me. If an angel came to you, would you be stupid enough to doubt what he's saying? Zacharias was. Now listen to this. The angel Gabriel told him that because this really ticked God off, it ticked the angel off. Because the angel Gabriel then told Zacharias that he was going to be mute until the child was born. He literally shut his mouth, wasn't able to speak until he was trying to say his name will be John. Until his words lined up with the will of God, he was mute. God had to literally shut Zacharias' mouth because, why? Because he could have thwarted the will and the plan of God because of his verbal confession of unbelief. So, if God had to do that, now, you got to keep in mind, this was a prophecy that was supposed to come to pass for Jesus to enter the scene. So this was pretty important. Right. Now, if God can do whatever he can do despite us, let me ask you this. Why did he have to make Zacharias shut his mouth and be mute? The fact of the matter is this, is that Zacharias, if he was not muted, he would have thwarted the will of God and the plan of God. Believing anything else is deception. God does things on purpose. Believing anything else is just dead religion. Oh, God can do whatever he wants to do. I believe everything that happens on this earth, someone getting saved in a car accident, someone getting saved in an airplane accident, some miracle happening. You know what? Know what I believe? Someone prayed for those individuals. Listen, either in English or in tongues, and they didn't know it. Why do you think the Holy Spirit leads us in prayer in English? Hey, pray for this. Or when we're praying in tongues. Literally, those kind of prayers probably come through tongues because God says you can't handle what you're going to be praying about. So you literally got to shut your mind off. Yep. And let the Holy Ghost pray it for you. You literally, when you're praying in tongues, you're offering the Holy Spirit your authority through Christ and say, use my vocal cords, Holy Ghost, to pray the will of God. Isn't that something? You're literally saying, Holy Ghost, you can use my authority. Now, anybody who's caught up in dead religion says, that's blasphemous. Holy Ghost can do whatever he wants. Really? Then why does he tell us to pray? Why does he tell us to pray that laborers would be sent out into the harvest? Because if we don't, it's not going to happen. Amen. Your prayers are more powerful than what you think. Amen. Now back to Mark chapter 11. Faith is always noticeable in our spoken words. We must release our faith. Again, it's not faith is not profitable to you until you release it through actions and spoken words. Faith is dead until we act on it. Faith is dead until we verbalize it, until we release it. I like to say it this way, turn your faith loose. Turn your faith. Some of you are keeping faith in bondage in your heart. Oh, you didn't hear me. Some of you have faith on the inside, but you're holding it hostage. And it's not doing you any good. Now, I want to show you something here that was very interesting that I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about last night. Go to Mark 11, 23 through 24. This is very interesting. Pay attention to this. Because this could, I believe this is going to set a lot of you free who feel like you're, Why aren't I receiving something? Am I believing? And you're struggling at the believing portion. You're struggling. Am I believing? Am I really believing? When Kenneth Hagin spoke this last night, I was like, wow, I got to share this with the people because it hit home. Mark 11, 23 through 24. Let's read it one more time. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. The Holy Spirit revealed this to Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin. He's in Mark 11, 23. He said, I want you to notice that in verse 23, the word believe is in there one time. But the word says is in there three times. This hit me like a ton of bricks. People are so tripped up in believing, in thinking, am I believing? But they're not speaking. The Holy Spirit told Kenneth Hagin this. He goes, you need to, when you teach faith, you need to put more emphasis to the people. Ready? On the speaking part of it. Not just the believing. There's one believe in that in verse 23, but there's three times it says the word says in connection to us. Are you following me? So listen to this. Whatever comes out of your mouth that you truly have faith for in your heart for that thing, you will have it if you maintain your faith until you receive it in the natural realm. If I'm talking about praying and speaking in agreement with the Word of God. You will never, again, let me say it again, you will never rise above or go beyond your verbal confession, what's coming out of your mouth. This spiritual law can be used in a negative sense. Also, some people truly believe in their heart. Some people truly confess with their mouth that they're going to get a sickness, they're going to get a disease, and something negative is going to happen. If you do that, you are accepting the devil's package for your life. Satan and evil spirits, they know this spiritual law. They know it better than us. All right? They know the reality of the spiritual realm. The spirit realm is a realm that deals with legalities. Say legalities. They know, the enemy knows it works, but many Christians don't know or understand, and they fall into the pit of speaking negative words. All right? That's why the enemy attacks your thought life so hard. Evil spirits want you to be so filled with fear, so filled with evil and negative thoughts that here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to confess it or to say the same thing as them. You better believe that the enemy knows the reality of Mark 11, 23 and 24. They've been around a little longer than us. They know the legalities of the spirit realm. Amen? But in a positive sense, Jesus said, when you speak or when you pray, you will have it. Jesus, in fact, he calmed the storm by what? Speaking. He believed it in his heart, and he spoke peace, be still, to the storm, and it obeyed. You know, you can do the same thing. Wow, that was just Jesus. No, Jesus is the first fruits. Hello. He is our example. He walked on this earth as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to continue on with his ministry on this earth. No difference. You just don't have to go to a cross. Are you following me? His 3.5-3 year ministry, we are to continue on with it. Amen? So we can have absolute confidence that we receive when we pray. Or when we say or confess, because prayer, you know, you can say it this way. Prayer means to ask. Say means to declare or command. Amen? There are times when you ask, and then there's times when you simply decree a thing and it will be established. Amen? Jesus said that when we pray for our needs in faith, in Matthew 6, I believe it is, our Heavenly Father, it says this. Are you ready for this? Jesus literally taught this. Catch this. He said, when we pray for what we need, our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. Are you ready? Before we ask. What is that implying? We're still meant to ask. Why? Because we are using our God-given authority to transfer from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. We're giving the Holy Ghost, we're giving the Holy Ghost, the angels of God, the green light to step in to our world to bring the answer. Think about that. That is absolutely powerful. Before we ask. So we're still required to ask. How many of you ever heard a Christian before? They're just down and discouraged, and someone says, well, you need to pray about it. Nah, if God's not giving it to me, then he doesn't want to give it to me. And they start getting all upset and angry, you know, with God, when the directions are right in the instruction book for the last 2,000 years. You got to learn the instructions. You got to follow the instructions in the book. There's times in the past I tried putting something together, and I'm like, oh, this looks like it makes sense. And you try to do it, and it's a mess. Then I get the instruction booklet, and it's still a mess. And I call someone else to do it. But you get the point. Amen. I was never a mechanical guy. Love flying airplanes, but that's about it. And preaching. No, listen. Again, faith does you no good as far as receiving the blessings of God until it is released by spoken words or actions. If you take anything out of this message today, is that faith does no good, dead faith, that faith you keep on the inside, keeping your mouth shut, not acting on the word, not being a doer of the word, it does you no good until it's released. Real quick, go with me to 1 John 5. I'm almost done here. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we're still required to ask. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The key to having confidence in receiving from God is to know and to pray in line with the will of God. And you find that out in the Word of God. It must be possible then to know the will of God, right? It's found in his Word, in the Bible. Now, here's I've talked about this before. Let me just, because we always just connect it to knowing what the Scripture says. But what about the personal things in life? Am I supposed to take that job? Am I supposed to do this or that? Am I supposed to invest in this? Am I supposed, right? All right, a lot, this is to have faith for a specific personal issue in your life, okay? To know the will of God about something like that comes from the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is a rhema word, a word that's spoken directly to you from the Holy Spirit in your heart, right? And so when the Holy Spirit gives you that rhema word, when you know what you're supposed to do, he gives you that direction, that guidance. You know what? Start speaking in faith on what the Holy Spirit showed you personally. Are you following me? We all have the general benefits here in the Word of God that we can speak, but on a personal level, for personal decisions, that comes from the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit on the inside. And, of course, he will use Scripture to back up what he's leading you to do also, right? Hebrews 3:1 says this, that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of what? Our confession. Oh, let me say it again. Hebrews 3:1 says that Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. The Word of God says that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us in heaven right now. Did you know Jesus is interceding for you right now? Amen. You don't need no dead saint to do it. Right. You don't need Mary to do it. Don't bother her. Leave Mary alone. Leave her alone. Leave the saints alone. They're enjoying the glories of heaven. They don't care about you right now. Are you following me? Leave them alone. But it does say, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us in heaven. You want to know why? People say, oh, well, you're praying to Jesus. He died. No, he rose from the dead and then he ascended into heaven. Technically, Jesus is alive and well just like us. Are you following me? We don't pray to dead saints. We don't pray to dead Mary. Meaning she died on earth. She's alive in heaven right now. But she died on earth. You get it, right? Okay. Don't do it. You want to know what that's called? Necromancy. You're trying to talk to the dead. Let's just tell it like it is, right? All right, now, so in other words, when we speak and pray in line with the Word of God, Jesus is pleading our case, so to speak, to the Father. Jesus, you could say it this way, he's our advocate. He's kind of like our lawyer. He's pleading your case. That's another reason why we can have absolute confidence when we speak and pray according to the promises in the Word of God, because we know we got Jesus backing us up. Jesus is overseeing the whole process. Jesus is saying, Father, yep, they're right. They're standing on the Word right here. And guess what? Then the Father starts to orchestrate the angels of God. Come on. He starts to move everything in place. Things start to happen. Divine appointments start coming to pass. Amen? When you pray and speak in agreement with the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are releasing, you are loosing the resources of heaven in your situation. And you're binding the forces of darkness. That's a good thing, by the way. We want to bind the forces of darkness so they can't move in your life. Amen. We want to enable the kingdom of God, the angels of God, the ministering spirits of God. But we want to bind the enemy. Amen? Go to Psalm 103:20. When you come into agreement by speaking and acting on the Word of God, you are, what the Bible says, laboring together with God on this earth, according to 1 Corinthians 3:9. Say, laboring together. See, God has always been, since creation, he's always been into a partnership with mankind. Always. It's always been a partnership. He wants a partnership with us on this earth. That's why he gave us authority. Amen? Now, we got to be wise stewards of that authority. Right? Psalm 103:20. And it says these words, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding, underline it, the voice of his word. The casual reading of that, you would think, it's God's voice, but that's not what it says. We give voice to his word. We give voice to his word on this earth. That's why the Holy Spirit brings up scriptures for you to speak in a situation. We're giving voice to the Word of God. God's holy angels do God's Word. They carry out His will. But again, we are the one. They heed the voice of His Word. We give voice to His Word. Amen? It's all about the authority that He has given man on this earth. All right? We give voice to the Word of God on this earth, and the angels heed His voice that we are speaking. All right? So if you want to put God's angels to work, you need to start speaking his word, the Word of God. You need to speak the Word of God in specific situations that you're going through. Confess, agree with, and give voice to his word. That's part of acting on the word. Amen? Say acting on the word. But the opposite is true. All right? When you speak negative confessions that are not in agreement with the Word of God, when you are loosing the forces of darkness and binding the resources of heaven, you are actually attracting the kingdom of darkness. We don't want that. Amen? All right. Let's see here. Go with me to the last one here, Isaiah 54. This is an important one, because there's a lot of people walking around living under word curses. You got to break them. You got to break them. Amen? Isaiah 54, 17, and I'm done. Isaiah 54, 17. And it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Notice it doesn't say God condemns it. Who does? Yes, you. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is a great promise of protection and deliverance to verbally claim every day for you and your family. I want to point it out here again. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, or that we what we call word curses, right? You shall condemn it. That means to make null and void, to void it out, to cancel it out in your life so it will not prosper in your life. Some of you are walking around with word curses. People have spoken negative things, and it's gotten stuck into your heart. It's gotten stuck so deep into your heart, it messed with your thought life. You've taken hold of it. You believed it. Now you speak in line with it. The way to come against it is for you to verbally say the opposite. You remember, so when someone speaks a word curse and you believe it, there's a flow to that. It's an evil flow. So you literally have to jump in the middle of that flow, and you got to go in the opposite direction. So you got to start speaking blessing over yourself. You got to start believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth the blessing. And it doesn't even hurt sometimes. Just make it part of your prayers in the morning. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I renounce and destroy every and any word curse that's been spoken over me, my family, my children, my church, my finances, hello? Amen. Start doing it. Amen. And what you're doing is you're jumping in the middle of that negative flow and saying, no, you're not going any further. And you start pushing back against it with your faith in your heart and believing it, or believing in your heart and speaking it with your mouth. So church, don't stop with simply keeping the word in your heart only. Keep it in your mouth also. Verbally release it. Because confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto protection. Confession unto every provision that God has provided for you as his child. Put the word of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels of God, all the resources of heaven, put them to work in your life from this day forward by doing this, verbally releasing your faith. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on forward. That's what the Holy Ghost wanted to get across. You got to verbally release your faith. It does you no good to hold it hostage in your heart. Release it in the name of Jesus, and you'll start to see blessings come. You'll start to see favor come like never before. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. The very first confession you need to make, the very first thing you need to believe in your heart, is that God is for you and that he sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross and to be raised from the dead for you. That's the first thing you need to believe, and the first thing you need to confess with your mouth is Jesus is Lord of every area of my life. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come on down and pray with one of our prayer team members today. Don't leave here without doing it, because like I always say, you just never know when we're going to take our last breath. And I want you to take advantage of that tug on your heart today. Now, if you heard this message, it convicted you, you feel like you haven't been doing this, what I was talking about, maybe you're even severely backslidden, but today you want to rededicate your life, come forward and just tell the prayer team, I want to rededicate my life, or this message really touched me, and I want prayer to move forward so I can release my faith effectively. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down, they'll lead you through it. And praying in tongues, it's an amazing thing. I'll be teaching on that in the near future probably. And if you need prayer for anything else, come on up. Have a great week, everyone. How many you guys have been enjoying Wednesday nights? You've been showing up? I want to encourage you, come out on Wednesday night. If you haven't come yet on a Wednesday night, come on out. We just have a great time. It's a real laid-back atmosphere. Just someone once said, I think Mandy, you said it's like sitting in a living room just having a conversation about God. So show on up. Amen. All right, love you all. Have a great week. You know where to find me. I can't hide from you guys. Love you all.